Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Curzon podcast. This week, Helen and I are discussing Austrian horror film Goodnight Mummy, which was released, obviously, on Mother's Day weekend. There's no better time for that film to be released.
The film is also known as a grisly remake of The Parent Trap.
Absolutely. I didn't think of it that way, but I guess that works as well.
No, it's actually also known as I See. Is the right. Austrian translation. What? It's like ich sehe, which means okay. I see.
Oh, so its original title is I see.
Yeah, or it's just, which I prefer to Goodnight Mummy.
Yeah, Goodnight Mummy's a kind of, it sounds like a really obviously bland horror film.
Mm.
But we'll get to talk about the elements that make it a horror film a bit later on.
Look at me talking before I said hello.
Sorry?
Look at me talking before I said hello.
Yes, we're rude, aren't we?
Hello. Hello, hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. I've just had a traumatic bag incident.
You did. Tell the viewers.
Yeah.
The listeners.
The zip got caught in the bag and I couldn't get it open. I couldn't get anything out of it, so I had to cut a chunk out of the bag. It's quite skillfully done.
He has done it quite skillfully.
Yeah, you wouldn't even notice.
No. Unless he showed you, which he will be doing. Yeah. He's really proud of it.
Strangers in the street. Look what I've done with my bag. So, Goodnight Mummy. Yeah, like we said, it's an Austrian horror film. It's the first horror film we've discussed on the podcast. The first kind of proper sort of genre film as well, I suppose. The other ones have just been, I guess, Oscar-y prestige dramas up to this point, whereas now we're going full genre. The film's directed by Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz, and it is about twin boys, Lucas and Ilias, aged about 10, yeah, and their mother, who comes back from some form of surgery, her face is bandaged up, and the boys begin to suspect she is not their mother. So, Helen, what's your viewpoint on horror films in general? Where do you stand with them?
I'm terrified of horror films.
Okay.
The last horror film I watched was The Village, which is a 12.
The M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, it's a 12.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be fine. It was not fine.
I agree with you. That is quite a scary film for a 12.
The Butlin Hedgehogs are so horrendous.
They are. It is a genuinely very scary film, actually.
And that
Village.
Was the last thing I saw, because before that I saw The Ring when I was 13.
That's not a good film to see.
I was 13.
When you're 13.
And it's a 15.
Yeah.
So that's why there are age things, because it completely horrified me. I was at a sleepover at the time.
Horror films are sleepovers.
And it begins as a sleepover.
Yeah,
I genuinely. I genuinely thought that my time was up in 7 days.
Yeah.
So, since then I've just said no more horror films. I nearly watched The Babadook, because I've heard it's a really good actual film, but I'm too scared. So I've been tremendously brave.
Okay.
Tremendously
brave. You were very brave. And yeah, I could tell you were very nervous going into this.
To watch
but
this.
You sat down, you watched the whole thing. Every now and then you'd turn and look at me and I'd hear either, oh my God, or this is horrible, or just, oh. And there was a lot of...
They were the feelings.
Your hands remained perpetually on your face.
They were on my face the whole time.
I mean, I like to think you saw everything.
I did.
And didn't blink. Or
I did shut my eyes at one moment.
Okay.
But then I watched the trailer again, and I accidentally saw the thing I didn't want to see.
Oh, right.
Which is not a good idea.
Okay.
What, you're different. You
I'm
love
a
horror
massive
film.
Horror fan. Yeah, I love horror films. Yeah, I've always really enjoyed them. I mean, I like being scared by them, but also like it when they're really good, like this one is. Because I kind of enjoy the whole sort of Paranormal Activity, Insidious. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very generic and very goofy and very hammy, but I do just, they're like a ghost train, really. I just find them quite fun. But what I really like is a horror film that really gets down to it and just does its job really well, which this does, and then some.
Yeah, I agree that I think it's a good film.
I think it goes beyond sort of sensationalism as well.
Mm-hmm.
We should point out that this is a film that it's going to be very hard not to spoil. We're going to try our best. And obviously, as always, about 20 minutes into it, we'll stop and then go into the spoilerific details of the film, sort of third act stuff. But yeah, so if you haven't seen the film yet, just listen to the first 20 minutes. And when you do see the film, come back and listen to what we have to say about the last 20 minutes or so.
Isn't this what is extra fun about horror films, though? Hearing what other people thought.
Definitely,
and,
their reactions to certain moments. Yeah. Especially something like this, which has quite a lot to talk about in the last half.
Should we call them secrets instead of spoilers?
Yeah.
Because I'm just really bored of the word spoiler.
I like that. Secrets.
The film's secrets.
Yeah.
And then we're like, we'll tell you the secrets.
Okay, so from now on, we're not going to use the word spoiler, we're going to use secrets.
I'm just a bit bored of it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been
everyone
overused.
Uses it. Yeah. Secrets,
we,
I like that.
We do secrets.
Secrets, the secret special at the end. Right, let's go straight into it. So I think all horror films kind of have their origins in fairy tales, particularly like the grim fairy tales, so like Hansel and Gretel, Little Red Riding Hood, things of that nature. And this film really feels like a nasty fairy tale, I thought.
This is a gritty,
really horrible fairy tale.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's setting, I think, the fact that it's that kind of part of Europe, very woodland area.
So they're in this isolated cabin house by the lake.
It's something that you'd find on Grand Designs.
Yeah.
It was a lovely house, wasn't it?
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
From the wide shots of the house, I was like, where's Kevin?
Massive glass paint. Yeah. The
whole imagine if it wasn't her and it was Kevin MacLeod.
That whole atmosphere of the film would have been ruined by Kevin MacLeod just appearing and talking about it. But yeah, I think it's that it's two blonde twin boys and they're in Austria and in the woods and it's all pretty much from their point of view. It just had this very much fairy tale feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's incredibly dark for a fairy tale, but then often they are. The film, it goes in chronological order all the way through. It generally just stays in this one location, the house and the surrounding.
So there's cornfields.
A lot of cornfields.
That
they
play in quite often.
There's like really... well lit, well designed, like wood as well. I love woods in films when all the trees are nice and aligned.
Yeah.
You know,
looks
really
cool.
A good wood.
A good wood.
There was always. Do you remember the bit where there was this weird like layers of mud on top of this lake?
Yes, and that's really really early
was,
on.
Like, swiveling around. That was. I was like, ooh, what is that?
It's like a spongy. It's like dry mud on top, but then below it seems to be
liquid.
Liquid.
Like,
So when you this is quite honestly a minute into the film.
Yeah.
When you jump on it. It
sort of sponges around.
Yeah, I was really fascinated.
I was like, I want to go and just jump on that. It looked really fun.
I'd completely forgotten that.
It was one of the things before, like, any of the particular horror started, I was just looking at that thinking, that looks fun.
Talking about that in the podcast.
Yeah, note that one down. So the film, it's sort of a boy's adventure for a while, and then it kicks in when the mother returns, and the mother's face is bandaged up for the majority of the film. What did you make of that design of and the figure of the mother when you first saw her?
I was terrified of the mum.
I
just thought, she's terrible, there's some bad things going on with this mum, this woman, whatever she is. Oh my goodness.
She was
her
terrifying.
Behaviour is really, really unsettling. And I was like, oh my gosh. Whenever there was a bit of her, like, walking, I was like, no, like, I don't want to see you. I was really scared.
Yeah, I think she's a really great horror creation as well, the mother. The way her bandages look at certain points, it's like she's got a really wicked smile.
Yeah.
And there's this whole bit where she's in the mirror and then one of the boys is looking like, but sort of hiding from her.
Mm.
And then she looks at him and her eye is really nasty and bloodshot. And it's, oh.
That's in the trailer.
Yeah. Oh, it is really gruesome.
Obviously there's the music that just helps you to fully freak it out.
Yeah, it's a really freaky film.
So there's lots of her sort of just walking around the house. And then she's like knocking on their door.
Yeah.
And the tension is so difficult to bear. Yeah.
She's a wicked stepmother, a wicked stepmother, but an actual mother.
Yeah.
Possibly. That's part of the mystery of the film. The boys don't believe she's their mother. They often ask her, where's our mother? What have you done to our mother? And part of that is because of her surgery. But I feel like there's also other stuff going on as well.
It's her character that's changed, which leads them to start thinking that it's not her and that there's an imposter. Which, can I just say, when I was 6 years old, my mum had braces on her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had them on her teeth for ages. And then she got her braces taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, how do I know it's you?
Ah.
And can I just say, my mum was being completely normal. And she wasn't acting weird. But it creeped me out. Because I was like, what if my mum wasn't my mum?
I think that's probably a fairly relatively common childhood fear.
Yeah.
That your parents are not your parents.
Yeah.
And that there's a stranger in the house. So that's what this film's playing on a lot. And it does it really well.
So this hit me hard.
Yeah.
I got over it.
Close to home.
I got over it within a week.
Okay.
I did not go down the same path that Lucas and Elias go down.
They go down quite a path.
They go down a path. But so I was like, oh my gosh, I know where they're coming from.
You've lived this.
I've lived the nightmare.
There was also as well, still on the subject of the mother, loads. There was I noticed a couple of these portraits of her. But she was blurred. There's quite a big one of her figure. And it was supposed to be some kind of art, I assume, but it looked like her with the bandage on, but blurred.
And there's incredibly scary pictures in the house.
Yeah.
And normally, scary pictures are tiny, very beautifully painted kind of details. And it's someone's got really creepy eyes or something. You think of sort of old art history or there's an episode of Jonathan Creek.
All right, okay.
It was about this painting and it was the guy with the pipe in his mouth.
Yeah, I think I remember this one.
There you go. Yeah. You laughed at first.
I did laugh, but then I was like, no, I have watched Jonathan Creek.
And it's really creepy and small. But these are massive.
Huge, yeah.
And blurred, so there's no detail, but they're really terrifying.
Terrifying.
And I was thinking, why is that in your house?
Mm-hmm. It's all to do with the tone of the film, and just little details like that really set the tone immaculately. I even think the sort of the mud, talking again about the mud spongy bit, just little bits like that, that's weird.
There's something beneath.
Exactly, yeah, maybe. But just things like that, that's just a weird thing
You
just feel slightly uncanny, just something slightly removed, just something slightly off.
And that's the worst, isn't it?
Yeah.
That vague sense that something's not right.
Something slightly wrong, but you don't know what for a while.
That's the most frightening thing, surely. Yeah.
That's why this film works. It's so subtle, for most of it.
I'm just reliving it now.
Yeah. There's really also a thing about masks in the film and
many
faces.
Masks.
There's
the
mother's bandages and the mother's face and the fear around that. There's also the boys have
these
paper mache.
I think the first scene is him running through the cornfield and then, I can't remember which one now, but one of them jumps on him in the mask.
Yeah. So there's a thing about hiding your face and
your true
mask and things like that, which is quite an interesting motif throughout the film.
Absolutely. And done really well. There's also an early scene where they play the game where you write a word on a post-it note and stick it on your head and you have to guess. And the word that they give her is mama. and she can't guess it.
Yeah.
Which some review was like, it's hardly subtle, which I do get, but I find that so tense.
Yeah, that scene's really, I was really on the edge of my seat, as it were, because I was like, this is just, why does this feel so
really
odd?
Horrible about this.
Yeah. There's also, I don't know how you are with bugs, but there's a lot of cockroaches in this film, and I don't know if people know this about cockroaches, but cockroaches hiss really loudly. Like, and especially when there's a whole tank of them, like there is in this film.
And the boys keep them as pets.
Yeah. Again, that's just something that you don't expect to find in a domestic house like this.
Also, their wallpaper has bugs on. I don't know if
I noticed that in their room.
Sort of ants. Yeah, and it's just like, oh god.
Yeah. I think as well, the three leads we should talk about. So Lucas and Ilya Schwartz play Lucas and Ilias, same name. It's real. And Suzanne Wüst, apologies if I've mispronounced your name, Suzanne, she plays the mother.
Mm-hmm.
They're all absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so well cast.
They're just
That really makes
superb.
It, I think. Yeah,
the boys are amazing.
And we've read a lot of things as well. We were talking about this before we started recording, but they weren't really given a script as such.
Sorry, I just had some tea.
That's okay. They weren't really given a script as such to follow. It was more improvisation and reaction. And you said as well that when they first see the mother with the bandages, that's the first time they saw her in real life. So their reaction was genuine.
It's genuinely a child being afraid of this freaky face.
Freaky lady. Oh. Yeah. And they're all very sort of typically attractive Austrian people, all blonde, you know, pale. But just in that environment, they're almost too perfect.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they're cast. Because, again, people looking too perfect, you always really think,
what's wrong
under the surface? Yeah. So I think we should say that this film really is probably not for everyone. I think as much as I want everyone to see this film, because this week out, there are people, The Revenant's still on and Hail Caesar came out, so a lot of people are going to see that. And this is only playing at the Curzon Canterbury, I believe, for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But if you're really, really put off by anything that might make you squeamish, it's probably not for you. But I think try, because you...
I tried.
You tried. Helen can do it. Why can't you?
Literally, if I can do it...
Anyone
everyone
can.
Everyone has something that is like, that's way too far.
Yeah.
So there would, like, there would have been parts of it for some people just absolutely couldn't take it. So... with caution, but the film is actually really good, and especially if you like horror films, I think you really should go and see this.
I mean, there's on the BBFC sort of certification guide, it says contains scenes of torture.
Yeah.
Now that's not like torture porn, like Saw or Hostel. It's not there just to be a sensationalist.
But I think it's worth us saying that's in there, and also it's not a spoiler because that's the first thing you see
when it comes
to
the certificate. It's the one that contains the torture.
It's a 15.
Yeah, it's only a 15, which is interesting.
So is the ring.
It's atmosphere over sensationalism, I think.
Yeah.
It's about creating a mood and creating an effect with an audience, and that's important as well. So just before we go into the spoiler section, I think that there's kind of certain horror films nowadays are either, like I said, Paranormal Activity or Insidious, where they're fun but they just tick the boxes, they go through it. And then there's other kind of horror films where you can tell the filmmakers really know and love horror and are kind of referencing it, whereas this I think is its own thing entirely.
Yeah,
it didn't really remind me of other films that much.
No.
There's a couple of things here and there, like I thought of the Dead Ringers, the David Cronenberg film where Jeremy Irons plays twins. But
I haven't seen that.
But nothing too specific. It didn't feel like it was being ironic or saying, you've seen that, so look what we're doing with that. There are some narrative points, I think, that are relatively predictable, and I think a lot of people will perhaps work them out, and they're not the most original twist, you know, things like that, but they're done with such flair and done with such sort of dexterity that I think...
And the whole tone feels so different that you think...
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to work out, because it's a game of, like, identity and who is who, and... You try and work it out, and the fact that you don't know just makes you so much more scared.
Yeah, you're so involved.
I was so on the boy's side because I was terrified of this
monster, woman. Essentially. This,
like,
the other.
There's a bit where she goes into the woods
naked and.
And then.
Her head.
There's a thing that happens with her head and I don't like it. There's also a bit where she's cleaning and she's got an extra mask on because she's spraying. And again, this idea of insects and bugs.
Yeah,
and
all comes flooding
contamination
back.
Yes. And hiding.
Yeah.
And sterilising. It's so frightening.
Yeah. Should we quickly answer a reader's listener's question?
Yeah.
So we're given a question and the question is, what's the line essentially between horror and thriller? So how do you determine the difference between those two?
It's a good question. To be honest, I don't know.
Okay. I have had this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This conversation before with someone, I was talking about Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, haven't seen it because I've only ever seen two
I'd
films.
Say absolutely that's a horror film, but the person I was talking to said, no, it's a thriller. It's about serial killers and police. It's a thriller, it's not really horror.
Okay, yeah.
But I'd say that it all depends on tone and the images that are used. So in Silence of the Lambs, using that as an example, there's nothing supernatural about it, but in the prison, it's sort of filmed like almost like a gothic dungeon at points, and there's a lot of gore and violence that's filmed in a sort of stylistic way that you wouldn't find in a thriller. So that's where I'd say the difference is.
I don't think it needs to have ghosts or things because, the main bit of most horror films is like the horror comes from within.
Exactly, yeah. And this, I'd say, is an out and out horror. Mm. It's not particularly, it isn't like monsters and ghosts and etc. It's more, it's just the mood and the images that we've talked about that can only be found in a horror film, I think.
Yeah.
So I hope that has answered your question. We're now going to move into the spoiler section.
The secret section.
The secret section of the podcast discussing Goodnight Mummy's secrets. So if you haven't seen the film yet, go away, see the film, and then come back.
Lucas?
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Lucas is dead. There's only one of them.
There's only one twin.
Oh, God.
Oh, the mum is fine. There's nothing wrong normal. With the mum. She's just had an operation.
So it quickly becomes apparent. If you've seen the film, you know, in the sort of the final 20 minutes, they tie the mother to the bed. She takes her bandages off and she's fine. She looks exactly the same. They tie her to the bed and slowly torture her in order to get her to sort of confess that she's not their mother. However, it quickly becomes apparent that she's fine and that it's actually the boys that there's something wrong there rather than within her.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's revealed that there has only been one the whole time. The Lucas has either been imaginary or a ghost.
What did you think? Is he a ghost? Is he in
hallucination? I would say he's a hallucination. However, there's one shot that makes me think ghost because, I don't know if you noticed, and I don't even know if I imagined this, but I'm sure when the house is on fire, so that they burn the mother alive, which is terrifying and just...
That's the final bit of the film.
That's the final bit. I could not believe that they did that. And it was a day after Mother's Day. Yeah, when the house is on fire and the fire brigade are there, I'm sure you see the mother walk off in the background. Yeah,
you do.
So,
but I didn't know if our perspective was Elias's.
I kind of, but was that, is it not sort of a slightly elevated shot looking on the house rather than up?
See, I didn't
I can't
know.
Remember.
I didn't know if it was, you do see her.
Yeah,
you
okay, do. So I didn't imagine that.
No.
It'd be scary if I did, wouldn't it?
Like, yeah, because no, it's a wide shot.
Yeah, and just
I think some people would have missed it.
Yeah,
because it's just there's fire, there's flames, there's firefighters, and just throughout of it, you see a woman just walk out of the house,
saunter off. Yeah,
and but I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know that was Elias.
Yeah, okay. I still think it could go either way, ghost or sort of vision. I think it's scarier if it's in his head.
Me too.
I kind of hope it is in his. I like to think it's just in his head, because that makes it that much more terrifying.
Also, there's a bit early on where a delivery guy comes around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he...
Elias. I don't know which one goes to wake the mum up.
Elias goes to wake the mum up, because then he goes...
But who let the delivery man in?
The door's unlocked, isn't it? The door's always unlocked because the
pizza man just comes in.
He just walked in.
Because he's loading the fridge and then he turns around and goes, oh, hello.
Yeah, as if that's the first person he's seen. And you think... Lucas is next to him.
Yeah, so the whole time just staring at him.
I think it's imaginary, because often with these horror films where you have a character that can see ghosts, they usually have... There's someone else that can see ghosts as well,
mm-hmm.
just to cement the fact that this is a thing in the world of the film, like being psychic and telekinetic mm-hmm. is sort of... It exists, so usually I have another person to sort of back that up. Mm-hmm. Like in The Sixth Sense, there's the guy on the radio and the recording that turns out he could see dead people as well. Okay. So usually they do that with these things. Or it's like hereditary, so like my mother could see dead people and I can see dead people. Okay. That's often the case. So I think that they didn't have that, and makes me think that it probably is in his head. But it's left very ambiguous.
Yeah.
And
Elias says throughout the film, there's moments where he goes, Lucas?
Mm.
Lucas?
Yeah. That voice.
It's a good impression, isn't it?
It's a very good impression.
Who's going to get her own film impression now?
The Sam Howlett impression now is slowly going out the window.
Exactly. Especially at the beginning, he's going into a cave.
Mm.
And he goes, Lucas. And he's on a river. Horrible. And then he's like, where are you, Lucas?
Ooh. Shall we talk about the torture scene? I think we have to. Let's get that out of the way.
The bit with the glue.
Yeah. So first we're tied to the bed, and it's okay. They've just, I think, I thought it was quite interesting that they use her bandages to tie her up.
Yeah.
Because that essentially, that's what's got her in this situation.
Exactly.
It was her bandages,
it's
and that's what they're
clever.
Using. That was quite a nice little touch. They tie her up. The first thing they do is the magnifying glass to the face.
Yes, they burn her face.
Yeah.
With a magnifying glass.
And often you see him use it earlier on one of the cockroaches.
Yeah.
And often a child torturing animals is a sign that...
They'll
torture an adult as well. They burn pot just a tiny little bit, but it's really horrible. It's because they're doing it to their mum.
No, and she's just fine.
She's a normal woman,
She's just had some surgery.
So they burn part of her face. Then, because she's screaming a lot, they super glue her mouth together.
Well, first they taped at her mouth.
Oh, yeah, and then the Red Cross people
come
around.
And then in this weird scene, which is kind of really funny.
Yeah, it's almost comedic, that scene,
Some Red Cross people come around and they want to stay in the house. And I found that so tense because I was so scared of the mum. It took me ages to think, oh my gosh, she's actually fine.
Mm.
So when they tied her up at first, I was like...
Yes, good. Well
done,
boys.
Thank God. Like, just keep her tied up because it's fine, because then she can't do the weird thing with her face that she did before. And she won't eat the cockroach, because there's a bit where she eats a cockroach.
It's great.
But I think that's a dream sequence.
I'm not sure. I think it's because
there's
you see
a bit
her,
where they
she
open
crunches
her stomach
earlier.
And all the cockroaches come out.
Maybe that is a part of a dream.
Yeah.
Oh. So, after the Red Cross people come around, they super glue her mouth together, and then they want to feed her.
Well, they realise she can't eat.
So they want to feed her, and this I think was one of the best sort of horror moments of the film, because it's done so slowly. and they sort of, they start to cut the glue off, just the glue, and they're doing okay, but they get sort of to the middle, and then just blood spurts.
They just cut her lip, and then by accident.
She screams and rips the whole mouth open, and yeah. there's blood all over her mouth. Wee. It's proper horror. It's really just out and out horror. The last sort of 20
she
minutes.
She nearly gets out. That's what's so bad. Yeah. So the point where Elias begins to untie her.
Yeah.
And then Lucas changes his mind.
And she escapes. She runs out, but trips over the Linus up awful. And smacks, cracks her face on the floor.
Yeah, she gets out, and then they set up a booby trap.
Yeah, and then super glued to the floor at the end.
Yeah, I didn't realise. I had to read a review to realise. I didn't understand how they trapped her, but it's glue again.
Yeah, and they've glued her eye shut as well. A lot of glue.
Which is kind of why the original title works better.
I see. Yeah. And then, we should also talk about the cat. A cat dies.
Oh, they put go it in like Damien Hirst on a cat. Yeah,
they put it in like a tank of formaldehyde and then light that on fire. And as it bursts, it consumes the mother. And they also light the curtain on fire as well.
Curtain, which is the main bit.
Yeah.
So she's super glued to the floor and she says, okay, Elias, we'll make a deal.
I'll play along.
I'll play the game. I'll put out two bowls of breakfast.
Yeah.
Because she ignores Lucas.
And you think, first of all, I thought that Lucas had done something that caused the accident that disfigured her.
Yeah.
And that's why she wasn't talking to him.
Yeah.
And Elias says to Lucas, you should apologise.
Yeah.
And Lucas says no. So I assumed, that's the backstory there, that she's been disfigured in a fire or something that Lucas caused, because it always seemed like Lucas was the evil twin.
Yeah.
He's this kind of evil twin character that did this to the mother. But it's not that. Well, we don't know. It's not really revealed how Lucas dies. I think she had
plastic surgery.
Like a facelift.
Okay. Because she is a minor TV celebrity.
Yeah. I guess that they talk about that. It's important to bring up that she has that job.
And Lucas died in an unnamed accident that was removed from the fact that she has bandages. Like, just something else.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I saw it as, because she, it was only that she's, there was another bit where she talks about the accident a couple of times.
Yeah.
And
you assume it's the bandage.
It's assumed to do with her.
Yeah.
But then there's another bit, she says to Elias, Lucas's death was not your fault.
Yeah.
Which made me think, in some way he had something to do with
Lucas's death. Some people think, because there's a scene very early on where they're on the lake.
Yeah.
And some people think he drowned in the lake.
I thought that. And also something through the cave, when he's looking for him. Maybe they were playing and he fell in the cave or drowned in the lake.
I think that's what...
Okay.
I think so.
And she has just had a facelift, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a kind of way of coping.
Yeah.
Like, which I thought was a really interesting thing, because like, to have a facelift is like to go back in time.
Yeah, definitely.
Before the accident.
Okay. I mean, it's left very ambiguous and unknown. They never reveal actually what happens for her to get those bandages or for... I think you might be right, actually, because there's a video, isn't there?
There's some pictures on the wall that have arrows on her face, like a facelift.
I'm starting to think maybe you're right and I'm...
But then I didn't know if that was a red herring.
I think the film has a lot of red herrings all the way through, which is sort of perfect for its genre, sort of a mystery horror in a way. We should move on to this new segment we're doing now called Popcorn Time. So these are things that we've overheard in the cinema as we've left and people have left the screen. Helen, what did you hear?
Someone said, I'm never having kids.
I absolutely agree with that person. The kids in this film they're really horrible.
It does put you off children.
And I felt like you couldn't talk them out of anything they were doing in this film.
You nearly could, it was Lucas.
But in the same way that like a horror monster like Michael Myers, you can't talk him out of what he's doing. And it's the same way that children are shown in this, that they have these ideas in their head and they're too young to understand what they're doing is wrong or paranoid or anything. So there's no stopping them. And this poor woman is tied up in her house, just her and her child.
But it's so much scarier when you remember the film again and it's just the two of them.
Yeah, remember without Lucas there, yeah. It's just too... Oh, it's just, it's
like when they were playing the game
yeah.
with the things, that's just a boy and this really bandaged yeah. up creepy woman in a lonely house.
Yeah.
It's so much... And when the Red Cross people leave and they wave at the window, they're just waving at one boy.
Yeah.
Just one boy.
It's creepy. It's really creepy.
So it gets worse the more you think about it.
It's a film that stays with you, definitely.
Because it's just one child the whole time.
I also heard someone say... Well, that was... Because we saw it like midday on a Monday. Like, oh, well, that's a nice way to start the day.
Yeah. And that was extreme for a midday yeah. film. Yeah.
And I also heard someone who hadn't seen the film, but sort of were looking at what was on, and they... Good night, Mummy. Read the description, or someone told them it was about, and they went, I'm definitely never, ever going to see that.
Yeah.
So, I think if... There's a lot of people that are going to be put off this film. But they shouldn't be, because it's really well made. It's like a sort of European art house. It's a European art house film.
It is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Not like, it is. It's filmed very much like a Michael Haneke film or something. It looks beautiful. It's done with, you know, you could tell this is considered an art for the people that make it. It's not just a hammy genre film. And I really loved it.
But what this film is so brilliant at is just an exploration of perspectives.
Mm.
If it's only that, it's great. Because at first, you see everything from a child's perspective, so you're terrified of the mum.
Yeah.
Then, the creepy cockroach face-changing, what you might read as a paranormal horror,
yep.
stops. The light changes. It's daylight.
Yeah.
And then the greater, deeper horror slowly dawns on you.
Yeah.
As you start to see the film from the mum's perspective.
Definitely.
And I've never seen a film that's done that shift in perspective so yeah. well.
It's very Freudian as well in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I think in particular, the whole, sort of, a lot of the dreams you mm-hmm. could read in sort of Freudian way. And as well, there's a scene where, so the twins... The twin plants a walkie-talkie in the mum's room and listens to it later. What did you think was going on based on the sounds mother was making? Because did we think the same thing?
She was jumping on the bed.
Jumping on the bed?
Yeah,
okay.
She was doing some exercise.
Well, I must have a dirtier mind than you, Helen, because that sounded to me like she was having an orgasm. And
what are you saying? She was trampolining. Yeah,
but
it did.
It's yeah, that was a and the boys
what,
listening
what
to it.
What was the point of that? Yeah, just
I think
a bit Freudian.
I think well, you could read it very Freudian in a very Freudian way there.
Because it's only one boy, remember? Because they swap.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I keep thinking. They swap over listening to the
yeah
to the walkie-talkie because they've hidden a walkie-talkie in her room to find out, and then they swap. Throughout the night, they listen to it, but they're not swapping.
No, it's just he's listening the whole time then, maybe.
Or was he just sleeping and then waking up?
Could have been a dream. If it was a dream, that's even more Freudian.
Yeah.
That he's dreamt about his mother's orgasm.
Yeah, there was, yeah. I thought that might turn into something else.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
That was kind of left there, which I think just adds to the sort of uncomfortable nature of the film. I think there's a whole tradition of horror films set in houses because you don't want anything like this to ever happen in the place you feel the safest and in the domestic space.
No, I don't, Sam.
But here, there it is. It happened. And final note, Elias escapes.
Well, does he?
Seemingly
escapes. Is he a ghost at the end?
Well, yeah, you never see him leave the house, so maybe he was killed in the fire too.
That's the big question. But the final shot is them standing in a cornfield and one of them, who I believe is Elias, looks super happy with himself. He's smiling.
I hate that. That last shot is
it's so creepy.
Terrifying.
He's
I actually just got really cold talking about it.
It's like, quite cold in here. He's like the mum and Lucas have straight sort of blank faces.
But one of them is smiling.
And Elias is looking at
us. And they're
like,
singing right to the camera.
I'm really happy.
I did not like that.
And I didn't know if he was a ghost or he was hallucinating. And the only way he could get the mother that he believed in was to imagine her.
Mm.
Because this is all about who is a mother and what is your perception of a mother. And to get the mother that he wanted, he had to kill the mother.
So you can imagine this new mother.
Yeah, which is, again, quite Freudian.
Very Freudian.
Or is he a ghost? We don't know. The film's makers say they intentionally left it ambiguous.
Good. I'm glad.
But he's smiling. He's really happy.
Right. So I think we're going to call it a day there. I highly recommend seeing this film if you can. You know, build yourself up for it. Be brave. It's only an hour and a half, roughly. So it's a nice length.
Love that.
Yeah, we love that length. That's the ideal Sam and Helen length.
It is.
So we hope you've enjoyed this week and that the secret special has been insightful. As always, you know, every week we'll do sort of two-thirds secret-free and then the last third full of secrets. So bear that in mind when you come and listen if you haven't seen the film or if you just want to build yourself up for something.
Also, though, maybe just comment. I'd be interested how many people listen who have already seen it. Because I listen to loads of reviews.
I listen to a lot of stuff afterwards just to see what someone else thought. Yeah.
Maybe just comment if you're like, yeah, I listened the whole way through because I've seen it before.
Absolutely, yeah.
And comment, tell us what you think.
Yeah, you can comment under the iTunes page or on the Facebook, anything like that. So that's goodbye from me. And
Lucas.
Goodbye from Lucas over there. See you next week.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.